Thank you, Ed. Former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, he just present a book, The Room Where It Happened. I have the pleasure to talk with Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra. He is a political analyst too. Attorney, have you read the Bolton's book?
Yes, I received an advanced copy. The book describes a White House that appears more like the old television series Peyton Place, if you remember that, with gossip and backstabbing, than a functioning government. Prior to the book's release, Bolton claimed he had a lot of secrets to tell about Trump. The Congress then asked him to testify during the impeachment proceedings and tell him what he knew about Trump's bribery of Ukraine's president. Remember, U.S. arms about in exchange for Ukrainian dirt on Biden's son. However, Bolton refused to testify, apparently because he wanted to make a lot of money from the sale of his upcoming book, from which he already pocketed $2 million from Simon & Schuster even before the book's release.
Mr. Pertierra, can you give us some examples of things that struck you most in the book?
Yeah, well, the book, The Room Where It Happened, which is its title, describes a pathetically incompetent President Trump, prone to major gaffes, such as asking his then Chief of Staff, General John Kelly, whether Finland is part of Russia, or being surprised during a meeting with then British Prime Minister Theresa May at learning that the United Kingdom is a nuclear power. In this 592-page book, Bolton paints a troublesome picture of the president's top ministers and advisors frustrated with Trump's feckleness and volatility. His Chief of Staff, General Kelly, Secretary of State Pompeo, Bolton, and others all expressed an inclination to resign. Bolton says, Trump second-guessed people's motives, saw conspiracies behind every rock, and remained stunningly uninformed on how to run the White House, let alone the huge federal government. Trump was always looking to personal instinct and opportunities for reality TV showmanship.
We continue this exclusive interview with Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra. Attorney, we know that Bolton plays a key role in the attempt to remove President Nicolas Maduro from power. What does Bolton say about that episode in the book?
Bolton dedicates an entire chapter to Venezuela and cynically calls it Venezuela viewed. He characterizes the government of President Nicolas Maduro as repressive and claims, Bolton does, that the crisis in Venezuela presented the U.S. with a, quote, opportunity that Trump squandered because he, quote, vacillated and wobbled in pending Bolton's efforts to carry out a policy of regime change. Although he quotes Trump as gleefully saying it would be cool to invade Venezuela, as if such an invasion was something akin to a video game that a 12-year-old might play. It is time, says Bolton in the book, to resurrect the Monroe Doctrine that Obama had buried. And that's where the justification for intervention in Venezuela lies. It has nothing to do with human rights or humanitarian aid. The Trump regime believes that Venezuela, indeed all of Latin America, belongs to the United States. Trump goes a bit further than Bolton, or perhaps he is not, he doesn't describe it as artfully as Bolton, but he says that Bolton says Trump ordered military options for Venezuela and then instructed Bolton to be sure that after the fall of the Maduro government, the U.S. should keep Venezuela because it's part of the U.S. anyway. He insisted to Bolton to be sure that after Maduro's ouster, the U.S. would keep the oil.
Attorney, does Bolton say how the U.S. planned to oust President Maduro from power?
Yes, it's clear from the book that the U.S. is still financing and directing the attempts at regime change in Venezuela. Trump would prefer, according to Bolton, the military option. But Bolton admits in the book that rather than using the military option, the U.S. could accomplish regime change in Venezuela by instead working with the Venezuelan opposition. He claims to have been the one who suggested that Venezuela be listed as a state sponsor of terrorism and Cuba as well. That way they could tighten the screws, the economic screws on both countries. Bolton describes in the book how the U.S. focused on hitting the Venezuelan oil industry, as well as choking off Venezuela's access to its gold reserves in London. Trump reportedly asked the Defense Department for details on the interdiction at sea of oil shipments between Venezuela and Cuba.
We continue this wonderful interview with Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra. And the U.S. plan for regime change in Venezuela been failed. Does Bolton know why?
Yeah, it's interesting. Bolton calls the decision of the White House to close the U.S. Embassy in Caracas on March 11 of last year a wrenching decision, because he thinks that it left the U.S. government without the eyes and ears necessary to oversee the operation on the ground. He attributes the failure of regime change, among other things, to that decision. Although he didn't say so in so many words, U.S.-led coups in Latin America have always been directed by U.S. embassy personnel. Remember the old joke? Why has there never been a coup d'etat in the United States? Well, because there's no U.S. embassy in the U.S. He recounts that Trump thought that the opposition's maneuvers would not succeed because Nicolas Maduro was too smart and too tough. This apparently surprised Bolton. About Guaido, Trump is quoted by Bolton as saying, "This kid, Guaido, nobody's ever heard of him." But knowing that Guaido was the only card that Bolton had given him to play, Trump said, "Okay, but I want him to be loyal to the U.S. and to nobody else." The book really shows us how little Washington understands Venezuela. The major premise that the U.S. applies in trying to understand Venezuela is that Nicolas Maduro is a product of Cuban intervention and direction, that the Cuban intelligence tells him what to do. This shows us that Bolton neither knows Maduro, nor does he know Cubans. The Nicolas Maduro I know doesn't follow directives from abroad, and the Cuba I know is respectful of the sovereignty of its allies.
Before we end this interview with a Cuban-American attorney, Jose Pertierra, attorney, do you think that this book will affect the presidential elections in U.S.?
Yes. Bolton concludes the book with a reflection that Trump's national security decisions turned on political considerations regarding the upcoming November election and not on philosophy or ideology. And that's probably true. He argues that a second-term Trump will be far less constrained by politics than he was in his first term, and that the Democrats will be more pleased with a legacy-seeking Trump in his second term. I agree with Bolton that the guardrails of electoral politics restrain some of Trump's instincts, and that without them, he will decide things differently. But I differ with Bolton that Trump will be looking to shore up his legacy and lean left should he win the election. Trump is a white supremacist and an authoritarian thug who has a big enemies list of anybody who's ever disrespected him as far back as perhaps the fourth grade. A second term in office without what Bolton calls the guardrails of politics would present Trump with an opportunity to seek vengeance on his perceived enemies and to impose on the United States a Mussolini type of fascism. In other words, a second term would allow free rein for Trump to be Trump.
Well, thank you very much to the Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra, who is also a political analyst, who talked to us about the new book, The Room Where It Happened, wrote by former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton. Reporting to you, Roberto Bastidas.